If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. I want to read verses 8 through verse 11. Revelation chapter 2. You know, Revelation is kind of a daunting book to study, right? Especially after you get beyond the first few chapters. So we're going to stay in the first few chapters. I took 2 semesters in school studying Revelation. Just one book, 2 whole semesters, a whole year. So, but this part of Revelation that we're going to read this morning is so very straightforward, and it's a message to the church in Smyrna. You know, that God had written these messages to these 7 churches in Asia Minor. And this letter is to one of those churches. And here's why I bring it up to us today. Because I happen to believe that this message that is written, you know, almost 2,000 years ago to this church is relevant for you and me today as we're here in this parking lot. So it's written by John, who is now an old man, who is exiled on the island of Patmos. And he writes to these churches to bring a word of correction or a word of encouragement or both in most occasions. There always has to be one, doesn't there? For those of you watching live stream, somebody's car alarm is going off. So anyway, let's read it. It's written by John, this old man now exiled, and he's writing to this church. To the angel of the church at Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. So who's writing it? It's Jesus, right? I know your afflictions. It's the Lord giving it to John. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I'll tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing and the preaching of his word. So this message to the church at Smyrna is unique for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the shortest message and is written to these 7 churches. This is the shortest one. And this one doesn't come with any correction to the church, only a word of encouragement. Only to this church and the church in Philadelphia is there no correction written to the church. Most occasions, Jesus says, look, here's what you're not doing right, and here's what you are doing right. But to this church, it's just a word of encouragement. Now, notice how he starts this letter. It says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. Now, who is it that died and came to life again? The Lord. So it's the Lord himself that is giving this message. And he says 6 things to this church. 6 things that he could say to you and me, I believe, the church of today, right now. First thing he says is, everybody say these words, I know. I know. Well, what is it that he knows? He says right there in the text, I know your affliction. Now, the word there for affliction, it means several things. It's this Greek word, thlipsis, and it's translated 21 times tribulation. It's translated 17 times affliction. It's translated 3 times trouble. 1 time it's translated as anguish. Another time it's translated as burdened. So the Lord himself has this letter written through John to the church, and he says, I know the pressure that you're under. I know your hardship. I know what you're facing. I know the pressure, the hardship of any kind that you are facing. God is saying to them, I know. So you might remember in the Old Testament, God said the same thing to the children of Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt. What did he say to them? He said, I know what you're going through, and I care. I hear your cries, and I'm coming to do something about it. So all through the Bible, we see God saying to us, mankind, I know what you're going through. I don't know if you are feeling the effects of this pandemic, but nearly everyone is. You know, how often do you hear this? I am so over this thing, or I am so sick of this thing. I'm done with this thing. God says, I know what you're going through. In fact, you know, we're even losing our hair over this. This is not a good thing. Some of us have put on our COVID-19, and now I read that we're losing our hair over this thing. Here's what the writer of this article says. As if there wasn't enough going on during this pandemic, doctors are now reporting increased incidences of people losing their hair. We typically lose 50 to 100 hairs a day, but emotional stress can accelerate that loss significantly. So this doctor, the incoming chair of dermatology at Mount Sinai's Icahn School of Medicine in New York City, said it's the stress of the situation that's causing it. So the Lord would say to you this morning, if you're feeling pressure of any kind, the Lord says to you, I know your hardship. I know what you're facing. The second thing he says, so I'm going to give you six things that he said. The first one is, I know. Well, what does he know? He knows the pressure we're under. And then he says, I know your poverty. Now, that's interesting because they lived in a prosperous city. It was a port city, yet the believers were suffering economically. One commentary on this says that this church bore up under their poverty. The idea is that of having nothing and being destitute and beggarly. Apparently, many were being forced out of their jobs and having their property confiscated as lawbreakers. What happened was this. Rome had instituted a law that said the state had to be the first loyalty of the citizen. To show that loyalty, the citizen had to proclaim that loyalty once a year. He did this by going before a local government official and making the statement that Caesar is Lord. Of course, a true believer and a follower of Christ could not do this, for there was only one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the reason the church was being attacked so severely and suffering so much. So the Lord comes to him and he says, I know what you're going through, and I know your poverty, but then he says this, yet you are rich. So anybody suffering economically during this pandemic, hear the Lord say this to you. I know the struggle, yet you are rich. What does he mean by that? He means like what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, I pray that you may know the hope to which God has called you to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. I love how Jesus turns the tables on them. He says, I know you're suffering economically, but listen, flip it around. Know that you are rich. Know that you are wealthy. The third I know that he says to them is this. He said, I know what you are facing. He said, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. And I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are really of the synagogue of Satan. In other words, what he's saying is the people who were supposed to be followers of God were actually opposing the true followers of God. So the first key thought that he says to this church is, I know what you're going through. I know your poverty. I know the persecution. I know those that are opposing you. Second thing he says to them is this. He says, but fear not. He says, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I'll tell you that the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Now, that expression for 10 days probably means it's only going to last a short while. In other words, this won't last forever, so don't give in to fear. This moment in time will pass. How many of you know that there was a collective gasp in the middle of the night on Friday when we heard that our president was going to the hospital because of COVID? There was a collective almost fear that came across the nation. Hear the word of the Lord this morning, the same words he spoke to the church at Smyrna. Don't be afraid. Fear not. This will only last for a short while. You know what the key is to not giving in to fear? The key to not giving in to fear is knowing the Lord. The Bible says this in Psalms, it says, I called upon the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. And because the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. So the antidote for fear is knowing the Lord and putting your faith and confidence in him. It says in Psalm 46, I love this verse. It says this, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not fear, even though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I will not fear. Why? Because I know the Lord. He is my refuge and my strength. I love these quotes by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, worrying, if you don't know who Corrie Ten Boom is, she was incarcerated in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. She said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load today, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but rather it empties today of its strength. Fear and worry are twins. And the Lord writes to this church going through this stuff. He said, don't fear. This moment in time will pass. Another quote by Corrie Ten Boom. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. She also said this, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to God, you'll be at rest. So what does God say to this church? I know what you're going through, but don't fear. Rather, be faithful. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. He will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful. Be faithful. You know what this word faithful means? It means a strict or thorough in the being strict or thorough in the performance of a duty, or true to one's word or promises. It means steady in allegiance and affection. It means loyal. It means constant. It means reliable, trusted, or believed. So given that definition of the word be faithful, I have to ask myself the question, am I faithful given that definition? You might remember when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said this. He said, it's required of stewards, that's you and me, stewards, that they be found, guess what the word is? Faithful. So he writes to this church, I know what you're going through. Don't give in to fear, but rather just stay faithful. Turn to somebody near you and say, stay faithful. Just be faithful. Tell them, just say, be faithful. Be faithful. I love what one writer said about Mark Batterson. He said, when thinking of how you will live today, Mark Batterson offers this powerful reminder. He said, don't wash your hands like Pilate, but rather wash feet like Jesus. That simple matrix for decisions will change the world if we choose correctly. I would just put it the way that the Lord put it when he wrote to this church. Just be faithful. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, be faithful in it. And then he says this in verse 10. He said, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. See, the reward is for faithfulness. James said a similar thing. He said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What's the point he's trying to make here in the text? Is that faithfulness brings the reward. The reward is for the faithful. You know, often we confuse faithfulness with fruitfulness. It's not the same. We can be faithful in doing the one thing the Lord gave us rather than being fruitful in so many other things. He said, be faithful. Mark Hatfield talks about touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the so-called house of the dying, where sick children were cared for in their last days, and the dispensary where the poor would line up by the hundreds to receive medical attention. Watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, feeding and nursing those left by others to die, Hatfield was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the suffering that she and her co-workers faced daily. And he said, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" he asked Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa responded, "My dear Senator, I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful. Be faithful and you will receive the crown of life." The fifth thing he says to this church is basically, listen up. Listen up. Listen up. He who has an ear, here's exactly what it says. The David Wilson paraphrase is listen up. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He writes to this church who is suffering and he tells them, listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that even during a pandemic, God is still speaking through the Holy Spirit? Listen for the voice of the Spirit. I don't know if you've noticed this lately or not, but here's what I've noticed. I feel like the Spirit is clearly speaking to the church. Because every time I turn on and hear either a preacher or a Christian leader talk, it always revolves around these two themes. You've probably seen it too. I told you last week about Franklin Graham being on the Mall in D.C. and having all those stations of prayer at these monuments. Did you notice what the theme was throughout the whole day as they prayed from place to place to place? It was all about what? It was all about prayer and repentance. And then at the same time in D.C., Jonathan Kahn was leading that group. And what was the theme? Prayer and repentance. Cotter Conlon, who's going to be leading this from Plymouth on Tuesday night from Times Square Church. His weekly streamed prayer gathering, this worldwide prayer gathering, which is going to be right here. And by the way, we're going to stream it here for anybody that wants to come and watch it together. So we welcome you to do that. But you know what the theme is going to be, right? It's going to be all about prayer and repentance. So listen, here's what I think. Even during this time, the Holy Spirit is still speaking to the church. And here's what the Lord said to this church. He would say it to this church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. My late father-in-law used to wear hearing aids. And I would notice that when the kids were younger and, you know, things would get really loud. If he was in the living room, let's say it was at Christmas time or something like that, and the kids were just yelling, opening gifts, making all kinds of racket. He would, now this is in the old days before hearing aids were, you know, attached to your iPhone and you could turn them up by, you know, touching your phone and doing all these fancy things. No, these were the old fashioned hearing aids that they were in your ear and they hit a little button on the side. And, you know, when I first noticed him doing this, you know, when I was younger, what's he doing with his ear? Is he picking wax out of his ear? What's he doing? No, you know what he was doing? He was turning down the volume of the hearing aid so he didn't have to hear everything that was going on around him. That could be a blessing sometimes, couldn't it? Just, I'm done. But listen, let's not do that to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking during this time. Let's make sure our hearing aid is turned all the way up. How many of you are hearing me this morning? One of the ladies in our church wrote this poem. I told you these themes have been just running around the church. The name of the poem is called Repentance. Her name is Leslie Polcari, if you want to know who it was. A heart repented, what a beautiful thing. A heart made low before the King. With eyes wide open and truth be told, to see our sin before the throne. All things hidden will come to light, best done through grace and not by might. Confess our ways and make them pure, laid down before him is the only cure. For there is power when done his way to set us free and this way stay. to walk this earth, to do his will. No chains to bind a heart made still. So confess our sins to walk with him. No more darkness, no more grim. For a heart made pure can conquer all. His strength made perfect to those who call. For when our will, our self denied, our contrary wants unable to hide, if we humble ourselves and seek his face and turn our hearts to his ways, confess our sin and the sins of man, and he will come and heal our land. Let us hear. Let us hear what the Spirit would say to the church. So he's writing to this church. Everything he said to the church at Smyrna, he could say to us, his church, today. Listen to his voice. Lastly, he says this. He says, eternity is for the overcomers. It says there, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Well, who are the overcomers? And how do we do that? How do we overcome then? If the overcomers won't be hurt by the second death, in other words, won't spend eternity without the Lord, those that overcome will spend eternity with the Lord. Who are these people? Here's what it says in Revelation chapter 20. It says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So we know that the lake of fire is the second death. And John writes to this church, obviously the Lord is speaking to the church through John, and he says, to those who overcome will not be touched by the second death. Who are they? It says in Revelation chapter 12, who are those people? I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them day and night before the Lord. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know who the overcomers are? Those who have put their faith in Christ. They have a testimony that says, I lived a life before Christ, and now I live a life with Christ. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, meaning the blood of the Lamb, is what caused our sins to be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So here's what I want to say to you today. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day to do it. I don't care if you were baptized as an infant or even went to church and did all the religious things. How many of you know you can do all those things and still be far away from God? We want you to be an overcomer. How do you do that? By the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I confess my sins to you. I confess them before you right now, and I pray that the blood of Jesus would wash away all of my sins, and I give you my life from today on to live with you forever and ever. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Did you hear God's message to the church at Smyrna and the church to we who have gathered here today and online? Here's the message. God says, I know what you're facing, but don't give in to fear because it's not going to last forever. But rather stay faithful because you will receive your reward. And listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and overcome. Praise be to the Lord.